Life is full of twists and turns. So that just when you think you kind of know what is going on, something's going to happen that flips everything right around. Can be expected or unexpected, it can be big or small, but it's just you can't plan in great certainty for what is to come. But although you don't know what may be coming in life, what those twists and turns may be, it's always good to follow some advice. When good advice is given to help you navigate through those, nothing quite like a timely word to show you what is on the other side. I remember thinking of one twist and turn that really threw me back, and I had to listen to a lot of people follow their advice. And I thought of when I was learning how to drive for the first time. I was 15 and a half, 16 years old, and I didn't have a car yet. I was with my parents' car. And so many times I learned new things. What I thought what the roads of the road were not. And I followed the advice given by many people. But there was one time in particular where I really needed to follow someone's advice. And it was the first time I got behind the steering wheel in a car. You see, up until then, whenever I sat in the front seat, it was always in the passenger seat. So when I look out on the road, it's from the passenger's point of view, next to the shoulder, not where the driver is. And so, thinking about a million other things, like what is this gas pedal and brake pedal and how do I turn it on, and think while I'm driving an automatic and not a manual car, I get behind the steering wheel and I immediately picture I need to drive as if I was the passenger on the far end of the road, really, really close to the shoulder. I got maybe 3 blocks until whoever was sitting right next to me advised me very nicely, "Tim, you need to stop driving so close to the shoulder. You're going to clip off someone's side mirror if you keep this up." So I followed their advice. I drove towards the middle of the road where I should have been the whole time along. And I never had to explain to someone how I managed to clip off their side mirror and how I would pay them back for that. It's because I followed that person's advice that I didn't have to learn by trial and error. I was able to learn, at least in that little part, what it means to drive a car. Another time that comes up, when it's good to listen, so you can learn something that you didn't know beforehand. Especially, I'm just old enough to remember this. The life before you had GPS and cell phones and smartphones, and you had to follow directions, and it was like a page long all the way through. And the eternal debate of, are you a landmark person or are you a street person? Do you give the street names and then you follow those, or is it the big cowboy boot and by the McDonald's is where you turn around? If you want to get to where you're going, you need to follow those directions, because if you don't, you're going to get lost. You're going to have to ask someone else for directions to get back to your original directions. It's helpful to listen to good advice. Not only so you don't make a fool of yourself, but you can learn things to come. And what's really amazing is that when you listen to good advice, that not only does it help you get through that little twist and turn that is going on right then, but it gets you ready for what is to come. Our Good Shepherd gives us lots of advice to follow, to get us through life's twists and turns, whether big or small, expected or unexpected, that they come. And with today being Confirmation Sunday, I'm going to make special mention of our two confirmants, of Jacob and Brandon. Some ways of how your Good Shepherd can lead you through those twists and turns, but truths that are real for all of us as well. It's here in the Bible that we see to follow our Good Shepherd, because he is as good as the Bible says. To follow our Good Shepherd and to only follow him. We call Jesus the Good Shepherd not only because he calls himself that in verse 11, which is after what we read, but when we look at Jesus in comparison to all the other shepherds of his time, the religious leaders, we see just how good Jesus is. In the verses before John chapter 10, Jesus, he had performed a miracle by restoring the sight of a man who had been born blind. Now the Pharisees had a much bigger problem with this than normal because Jesus had healed the man on the Sabbath day. The day of rest when you weren't supposed to do any work at all, like healing a blind man, according to the Pharisees. So after doing some investigation, the Pharisees, they kicked out the blind man from the synagogue, say he couldn't worship with them anymore, and sent a message clear and loud to the town. They would not put up with Jesus or anyone who believed in his teachings. So it's to this crowd that Jesus gives a figure of speech. The man who was born blind but now can see. The Pharisees who kicked him out of the synagogue, and all the other Jews who had known that a miracle had happened and that Jesus is something entirely different they had seen before. And in his figure of speech, Jesus uses a sheep pen. The place where shepherds would house their flocks during the night to keep them safe from the wild animals. And as I was imagining, what does a sheep pen look like today? I saw some pictures, and it's like a corral, but built out of stone. There's no roof on the top, so the walls have to be high enough to keep the wild animals from jumping on in. And there's one way to get into the sheep pen. It's a gate, guarded by the shepherd or by the watchman himself. Jesus uses this sheep pen to illustrate just what it is a shepherd does for his sheep, what makes a shepherd good. Listen how Jesus describes what happens when a good shepherd comes to the sheep gate. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. It's really something amazing to see our good shepherd described in these words. That he knows us by name. That he is going out and leading us in this dangerous life, keeping us on the safe path towards heaven, they'll fall into the spiritual pitfalls on either side. And that we get to know what he is thinking as we come to him in his Bible. Brandon, Jacob, have you guys thought about that before? That Jesus is your good shepherd? He knows everything, but it's not just like he just kind of knows what's going on. Like you're going to be confirmed up here in just a few minutes. But he knows you uniquely and what makes you, you. As you get ready to go off to high school in just a few months, you're going to be going through a whole lot of new twists and turns of every different kind. But it's not like God is up there in heaven just leaving you alone so you can navigate through life's twists and turns by yourself. No. He's here with you to guide you and to lead you all the way through. When you open up your Bibles, whether it be smartphone or paper or whatever form, there you have God's Word speaking to you and the Good Shepherd himself telling you his love for you. This is what it means to be, to have our Good Shepherd in this way. He does this for each and every one of us. But it's hard to remember sometimes just how good our Shepherd is. To follow him at all times. High school's coming up, and you're going to be getting a lot of friends, clubs, sports will be vying for your attention way more than ever before. Will you continue to follow your good shepherd when they are competing for your attention so much and you don't make time for Jesus? Because he's not good enough for your time anymore? From the year I've had the two of you in catechism class, I've realized that just because I say something doesn't mean you believe it right away. You need to ask questions, to use your reason, to figure out for yourself if what I'm saying is true. That's not wrong in and of itself. But But what will you do when the voices of reason go against what your good shepherd tells you? That the earth is billions of years old and Genesis is wrong. That God's happy that as long as you try your hardest, He's good with you. And that James chapter 2 is wrong. Where God tells us that even if we break the law in one point, we're guilty of death and hell entirely. Or as you learn new things and see that what you knew as a child was wrong or incomplete, will you doubt the truths you have known since infancy? That Jesus is your good shepherd? I pray that all of us, we keep the faith we have. That Jesus is our good shepherd. I pray that as we go through all of life's twists and turns, that we never fail to appreciate just how wonderful our Savior is and what He has done for us. How He's led the way for us. To fight that battle over sin for us. Because of His perfect life, He is as good as the Bible says. Because He has kept the law perfectly that we cannot. Because He died an innocent death on the cross, He is as good as the Bible says. For He has paid for all of your sins. Because He has risen from the dead. He is as good as the Bible says. He has given you the promise of eternal life. Indeed, our shepherd is great. He is good. So follow Him. And follow only Him. After Jesus got done telling that figure of speech to the crowds, some of them were confused. A little lost of what Jesus was trying to communicate. Maybe because Jesus was just speaking over their heads. Maybe because the Pharisees, they didn't want to admit that they weren't the good shepherds that they claimed to be. So Jesus, He changes gears a little bit and He speaks a little bit more directly where He says, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. If you remember that layout of the sheep pen, that there's only one way in and out of it. It's the gate. So if you want to enter the sheep pen to the eternal life that is in heaven, you need to go through the gate that is Jesus. John chapter 14 says, where Jesus speaks even more clearly, that I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is why it's so important to follow your good shepherd. If you follow Him, you receive life. But if you don't, it's death. Brennan and Jacob, if you haven't figured out already, this message isn't too well liked by the world out there. That there's one gate to eternal life and His name is Jesus. You have science and higher education that says that there's no such thing as God, or at the very least, a good shepherd who's done all these things for you. Many religions out there say that when Jesus died on the cross, it was not finished. It's up to you to live a good life, to finish what He started, to tip the cosmic balance of evil actions and good works in your favor. Many people who will say that there are many paths to heaven. So you follow yours, I'll follow mine, and even though we're completely separate here, we're going to the same place. But as good as that sounds, it does not connect with what our Savior tells us. There's one path to heaven. That is your good shepherd. That is Jesus. Anyone else who says otherwise is one of these thieves and robbers that are jumping over the sheep pen's walls to get among the sheep. And they're not there to help you. No, as Jesus says, they are there to steal and kill and destroy. So don't follow them. Follow your good shepherd and Him alone. And value God's word for how your good shepherd tells you it is. It's the only source of spiritual truth. Lessons that you learned in Sunday school with me in catechism class with your parents at home are timeless truths that will bring you through all life's twists and turns. It's also helpful to remember what Confirmation Sunday is. It's a big deal. It's a milestone in your Christian life when you will be publicly professing your faith here and welcome to join the rest of Grace Lutheran at Holy Communion. But don't think of it as graduation in the sense where now you're done with Bible study. You don't have to ever do anything like that again. Just as you continue your schooling by going to high school, so you continue your Christian education by going to Lifeliners and all the events afterwards. I encourage you to make every effort you can to come to our Lifeliner events and activities and outings as you have with catechism, so you can keep building your faith and to connect with other Christians your age as well. And go to God's Word so you can recognize it when your Savior is talking to you. So there are a lot of bad shepherds out there who only want to trash your faith and to say that your shepherd isn't good or your shepherd. False prophets who will say that they're speaking on behalf of God and will even cite Scripture to back up their wrong ideas. But don't be confused by them. You have the Holy Spirit. So you can understand these wonderful truths given to you. You have a sure knowledge of what the Bible teaches as you have learned with me and in the years past. And you have the Good Shepherd's own words given to you in His Word. So you can compare what others say. So you can go straight to the source. Follow your good shepherd. He is as good as the Bible says. Brandon, Jacob, and all of us, follow your good shepherd and only follow him. For he is the gate to eternal life. A life that is filled to the full of peace and joy, made possible by our shepherd, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.